in the home. It just made you want to live for Jesus. Just made you just want to. You'd look out and see other things and wonder, why is that family in such a situation? And my daddy's even gone building churches and helping other people's kids. But we just have such love and peace in our home. And I love Jesus because Jesus was there, and Mama was totally dedicated to the Lord, and she was totally dedicated that her children were going to live for Jesus, and she's going to die trying. And she didn't have to die, though, for any one of them to know Jesus, because she, all of them, know Jesus Christ today. Only one just kind of wavered a little, you know, down through the years, and we keep lifting her up. Laverl, she's just a little bit younger than me. We keep lifting her up, and you know, she finally got basically steadfast on the rock, see? Oh, the Lord is with us, mothers, the Lord is with us. And ladies, those of you that do not have a family and do not have any children, this is what came to me in the middle of the night. As all hell broke out yesterday evening when I got into the motel room, see, I served the devil notice that I was going to speak, that the Lord opened the door for me to speak this morning. And he tried to serve me notice that I was going to make the biggest mess ever, and I was going to get everything I'm going to say, and everything was going to be a horror. But I'd already served him notice. So while Dr. Moon had to be fixing on the tapes and things and prepare some things that we needed to bring in, and also his things that he was going to say in his singing, which he had to make some noise to get that done, I picked up my pillow and I went in the bathroom, which was, they had cleaned real nice, and I put a couple of towels down there in my pillow, and I got down there and I served the devil notice again. I said, you get out of here and you leave me alone, and you quit bugging, you just bug out, and don't you bother me anymore. But all night long, there was only one or two thoughts that would come in my mind. But I already knew from the past that Jesus gives you the words in the time of need. Just exactly what the congregation needs, he will give to you. See, I'm not anything like the type of minister that God has called Dr. Moon to be. Because if everybody's alike, my, it would just be so, you know, we wouldn't be interested at all if we heard the same way of giving it out. And I don't take homiletics from him. Oh, no. No. Not that I didn't really want to. It's just that I know how the Lord has called me and how he has put it within my heart to minister. And also because, mothers, when I had my two children and my husband was going to school and I'm preaching and I don't know how many other things, I intended to raise my children myself. And I didn't leave it up to nobody else. And these days things have changed because we had the single mothers and the single fathers, that are raising their children, and they have to work. But you know what, mom and dad, or mom, the singles, you still will raise your children if you determine, even though you have to put them in a nursery while you work. Your influence on them in that quality time will stay there forever. Forever. And if it looks like that they're becoming old, like the scripture said, they won't depart from it, and they'll make heaven their home, even if you don't see it. Even if you go on to heaven before that happens, they will, because God promised us, and He don't lie. He don't lie. And I'm so grateful for that. We've got the promise. You know, we were praying. They were praying for our brother's brother the other night. And he's got the promise already, because he prayed and he got victory over Satan. And one way or another, God's going to bring him in, even if it's on his deathbed. And even if it's that way, it's better than going to hell. But you know, it's so wonderful to serve Jesus and have the joy of serving Him while we're here on this earth. But if God has to choose another way, just as long as they make heaven their home. So Mama taught us to pray by us just listening. She sent us to school someday with a biscuit for our lunch and some mustard in the middle. And that just tasted real good, because I didn't know I was poor. I had no idea I was poor. But I want to tell you something else. Being a preacher's kid, that was something else. I wrote a song about it just for us to laugh about. I'm not going to sing it, because I don't even have my music here fixed for it. But it said, I'm just a preacher's kid, and I was just teasing, because this really isn't the true thing, but it's just something to laugh about. I'm a preacher's kid, a preacher's kid. And when I, but the deacon's kids, you've heard these jokes about the deacon's kids showed the preacher's kids, or the preacher's kids showed the deacon's kids, you know, not to be nice. That's not true. If we're not nice, it's the devil that did it. We don't have to pick out an individual. The devil uses the individual. But it's the devil that does it. And so we can just reach out to Jesus. And I tell you, Mama, she taught us those things. But if you were raised in an orphanage, or you were raised with people who didn't know Jesus, or your parents didn't know Jesus, oh, you don't be worried about that. He can just overnight show you and teach you. Yes, He can do it. He will do it if you ask. Your will, but He will. It doesn't have to be like my home was, because Jesus is with you. He's with you. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. You shall be confident in your prayers and in wanting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So I didn't know I was poor by the world's standpoint. So I just ate my biscuit. I saw people eating things that I hadn't seen before. I saw kids, you know, now I know what it was. It was a sandwich with some meat and lettuce and tomatoes. But you know, I didn't know all about those type of sandwiches. But I thought mine was just as nice as theirs and would fill me up, and it did. See, Jesus put ham in that biscuit. He put tomatoes in that biscuit. I love tomatoes. He put everything that my system needed in that biscuit. And Mama didn't say we were poor. She just rejoiced in the Lord because He supplied daily our needs when the food wasn't on the table, when it was time to eat and it wasn't there. It came. All at once it came. Because we were in the ministry. This is one thing that I had thought in the years past. Lord, if I could rearrange the ministry, I would rearrange. But now see, I'm not telling God what to do. He knew best. But it's kind of hard on us ministers, and especially we that go in and do volunteer ministry. And we know good and well in the natural, when I leave my house to tour, say, all the prisons in one state, there's not enough money in my purse to feed me, to get my place to stay. No. Sometimes there's not even enough to get me a Coke or to pay for some water and ice. But I learned a long time ago that if someone didn't come up and say, here, would you like to have this to eat? Because I don't want it, if I go in a restaurant, that's happened. I ordered this for my child, or I ordered this for my wife, and she doesn't feel well. Would you, if you haven't ordered it, could just take it? And they didn't even know who I was. They didn't know they was doing what Jesus wanted them to do. And I'd get the finest things you wouldn't believe. And then when I stopped by the fruit stand, because I would think, well, now maybe we'll weigh them. And I see, well, maybe this 25 cents will buy me an orange or an apple or some fruit, you know, because I was hungry for fruit. I love fruit and fresh vegetables. So I'd go in and I would look and I would weigh and I would look, because, see, we don't have to give a hard luck store. And I'm not going to give you a hard luck story, because I don't have to. I have the King that owns it all. And you know, I'd always find one, and then I would dump my purse out there to see if there's any more in my little coin purse. And the man or lady that was there at the counter that you pay, they would see me dressed up, dressed up Sunday best, we call, because I'd be on my way to sing at a prison or someplace like that, especially the prison when I didn't have any money there, in the natural, not in the spiritual. I look in the spiritual. They say, well, why don't you just take some of these here? My goodness, I won't ever get all these sold, and fix me up a whole bag of stuff. And not make me feel like I was a beggar, because I wasn't. Oh my, I gotta stop on that now, because I want to tell you, oh my, oh my, if you leave I won't be mad, but I want to say that in the middle of the night, after I finally got my pillow out of the bathroom floor, on top, I'd had laid on a towel, and I had my Bible out there and a piece of paper in case I need to write something down. And I was thinking, Jesus, devil's just tried everything, but he's not going to get by. And then, and you know what I did? I said, devil, you're so dumb. You're so stupid. Don't you know if I don't know exactly now what I'm going to say in the morning that Jesus is going to tell me?
You just might as well forget it all and get out of the way. And I said that 3 or 4 times. I had confidence Jesus heard me the first time. And I had confidence that the devil heard me the first time. But I just reinforced it. Then I picked up my pillow. It was a long time. I picked up my pillow and I went back in to the bed and I laid down in the bed. I laid my Bible there and I held a little close, you know. Oh my, that's the most loving thing. You see, we said, well, why didn't you open it and read it? Well, I had been, but it was just a comfort to me. Because inside that Word of God, was everything that I should know in order that the gospel go forth either in word or in song, no matter how or how, when you witness. And I just was so exhausted and tired, I couldn't read anymore. So I just held it real close and let the scriptures that I had read go through my mind and let it feed my soul. And they were scriptures that wasn't even going to go together with what I'm saying this morning. But it was comforting me and it was what Jesus wanted me to hear. And then the Lord just helped me to go on to sleep with a cassette recorder going. As I was meditating, as we were trying to fix our tapes and things, because we want to have them prepared for you in case you would like to have some of those on the table there to take home and enjoy the Lord as you listen to them. I'm not trying to give you a sales pitch, because the money that comes from it, you can imagine where it goes straight for souls. Straight for soul. And so Dr. Moon was trying his best to get that done because it was the last minute before this morning. And the Lord just helped. I said, Lord, just take everything out of my mind and just put this one thing on my heart, the word, your word, and let me meditate. And the Lord just helped me then to drift off into a sleep. A peaceful sleep that I know that I had done what the Lord wanted me to do. I still didn't know what I'm going to say this morning. But I knew He knew. And now, as it is time to close by most people in most churches, but I want to say what came to me then, real forceful this morning. Early this morning, we know that we can come to church and we can glean from other mothers about how to raise our children and how we can do. But have you heard of those children that need you, ladies? Of course they need you men also, but I'm speaking to the ladies this morning. Have you heard, have you felt a burden to take them as your children, even though they've got the mother, and maybe you don't have to work, or even if you do, you have a desire. You know at a certain age, you know at that certain age, whatever you put into their little minds, and especially what you put in about Jesus, it's going to stay there for life, for life, for life, eternity. And they will make heaven their home. Would you be, has God burdened you to be a mother to someone that you did not all the time? But these things we are not putting forth enough to let us know. And oh, when I think, when I was in the Philippines, and especially especially when I went into Thailand for about 6 months or so, I had no idea what the Lord had opened for me, because when I went in there, I was given strict notice. I went in with my husband because he's going to teach there in some of our Bible schools and have campaigns and preach. But I was told, you know, I'm just the tag along. Well, I don't mind being a tag along. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Don't think I'm going to go someplace and sit in a motel room or any kind of room when there's souls everywhere that need Jesus Christ, no matter if it's in America or abroad. No way, no way. And I don't care how much I'll make the devil mad about that. And I said, Jesus, you know the people that picked us up at the airport in Thailand, they kept telling I was in the middle, and they kept reaching, leaning over there and talking to my husband, and he was the king. Well, he's my king. I mean, you know, not the king like Jesus. He's mine. I love him. But he doesn't tell me my burden. He didn't give me my burden. Jesus did. And I didn't give him his burden. Jesus did. But when that person that picked us up, who loved Jesus with all his heart, but he just kept talking across me to my husband, telling my husband, you got this. We this schedule and this schedule and this schedule and this schedule. And oh, it was so wonderful, you know, all the things to work for Jesus and all arranged for him. And I tell you, there's hardly ever down through my life just a few things arranged for my ministry ahead of time. Just a few things, like in the military and in the prison. Whenever I tell them I can be available, then they arrange. But hardly any of these other things are arranged for me, but that's the way God arranged it. I don't know how to say it. That's the way God arranged it. Because by faith, I saw my mom and daddy live by faith. I saw my daddy building all these churches by faith. I saw my daddy Moon building these churches by faith, and having their food by faith, and their clothes and everything. So I didn't know any better. But inside me, me and God was making some decisions. I said, now Lord, you already know I'm not going to go to that motel room and sit with these souls going to hell all over this country in Cambodia. No, you already know that. So I'm just going to stand back and see the miracles you're going to perform. The people didn't know that I was in ministry and that I try to sing best I can as Jesus helps me. I try to speak the best I can as Jesus helps me. I witness best I can as Jesus helps me. And he knew that. He knew that. And he honored my steps and he honored my thoughts. And when he opened the doors, I don't think it could have been scheduled before I got there. And I praised Jesus for it. And I had no idea. I didn't ask Jesus. You see, we don't have to ask him certain things that we would like to do, because he knows we want to win souls, and he sees if he can make us capable for certain things, like I said about the military that he did for me. And I went down to the refugee prison downtown Bangkok to minister. I just went down there, my heart, I love to go to those places, because I have two children that I got out of refugee camps that escaped Cambodia in 1980, and they're in gone to Bible school, and now they are ready to step out and work for Jesus full time. Oh my, that story goes a long ways too. And I can't get into that, but I wanted to tell you this one thing about little Aurora. Her name was Aurora, about 25 years old. And she escaped Vietnam. She escaped in a ship, in a fishing boat. And there were soldiers, communist soldiers all around. And I'm telling you, they don't play games, as you, most of you know. If they see that you're trying to escape, that's the end of your life. Unless he intervened. They planned it undercover, you know, for a few weeks, and then they put her on the shipping boat that was going to Thailand from Vietnam. And it wasn't very far out in the ocean, not far enough to get away from those that searched the ship. And they stopped them and started to search the ship. They saw them coming and they started to search the ship. And listen, you know what? They had to put her in the freezer in order, they thought this would be a place that they wouldn't look. That was the place they didn't look. But Aurora froze completely stiff. 25 years old, and already had trained in her own country to be a medical doctor. But she knew she couldn't stay there. They were killing because of the communists. You know these things, and I need to take some of these things out of what I'm saying, so I'll get through and you can go home. But oh my, only God can do these kind of things. And when they stayed on the ship for a long time, those communist soldiers, searching and searching, and they couldn't find her, but they were just sure she was on there. But they looked every place that they could even conceive, and God helped them to just pass on and freeze where they put, you know, the fish and things that they catch. But whenever they got off the ship and they got far enough away to where they couldn't see them through the, I can't even think how to pronounce words. Anyway, they can't see on the ship, and so they rushed to get her out of the freezer, saying, she's frozen. We'll get her out of the freezer and we'll do like they've done many times. They'll just slip her over into the ocean, because if they come up to any port with someone they've brought out, dead or alive, that whole bunch will be killed. And I know what I'm talking about, because I've been right in this situation. I mean, I've been around them, and then my own children of the Cambodians that we adopted in our hearts. These things happen to them. She was frozen stiff. She was dead in our eyes, in the natural eye. Listen, in the natural eye, in the natural eye, the thing that we're not supposed to look through. But of course, Satan causes us too many times, and we have to rebuke him. And just in time, you know, God's never too soon and never too late. Never. And just in time, She opened her eyes, almost scared those guys to death. They didn't know Jesus, you know. And then they said, oh, I believe she's alive, but it can't be, it can't be, but we're going to check this thing out. And so they kept, you know, rubbing on her and everything. And then she sat up. Then she stood up. And she didn't have, she was well completely. It had not affected her brain or any part of her being. She didn't know Jesus Christ the way we know. She hadn't heard about him the way we have. But she said, I know whoever. She said, she called me mom. She said, mom, I know whoever made the whole world and made me. That's the God that did it. That's the God that did it. And listen to me. This is only one of many, 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 many stories that I know and that I've been connected with that Jesus let me see. Oh, I praise God he has let me know these things, although it seems that it didn't happen. Just before they got to the Thailand border, their ship was blown up. Two pieces. She said, mom, I was talking through her to her in the refugee prison, because at that time God had not, he was bringing it around to get her out. And praise the Lord, he let me be there to work with the commanding officers and the people that are over Thailand and over that part, which is the very high up ones. And I'm just, you know, less than this, except for Jesus. I was taller than them all. They didn't know it at first, though, but later they found out, because in their heart they found out there's something there that's good. It was Jesus. She said, mom, I come up and I was still alive. It wasn't very far to the border of Thailand. But mom, I didn't see anybody else. The ship was just in little pieces everywhere. And I kept going down because my strength was gone, and coming back up and going down and coming back up. She knew how to swim, but she was just exhausted and tired. And it was with that bomb, you know, it just made it much worse physically on her energy. But all the glorious thing about it, she said, mom, I knew in my heart this would be my last time to go down. I knew I'd go with that God that made me, because I'd pray to him. I didn't know who he was, but I prayed to him. And she said, I got way down. And all at once, there was a hand that reached way down, all the way down through that water when I was almost lost consciousness, and took me by my hair, you know, her beautiful black hair, took me by my hair and pulled me up. And it didn't hurt a bit. And this being, which was God, set me in a lifeboat made out of the, you know what a lifeboat on the ship is, the kind that they blow up in air, and who had time to blow it up? He did. And set me in this. And oh, she said, mom, it was that God that you're telling me all about now, I know it's the same one. It's got to be the same one, because he's the one that sent you here. Oh, can you believe? Can you just believe the excitement of all that? And she couldn't tell a lot of people. She couldn't tell a lot of Pentecostal people that went up there who wanted to see her, because they thought that she was just telling a big long tale. Well, she was, but it's true. Oh, glory be to God. And see, I took her as my child. The first time I saw her, I took her as my child, along with others in that refugee prison. It was downtown Bangkok. They had the refugee camps all out on the borders, but this is downtown. Very hot. Many, many people crammed into this one room. No bathroom. They each one had to have something up there. Listen, I'm going to talk plain to you, because it was a horror. It was a horror. She was on about the third floor, and I would have, and it's cement, and I would run up those that third floor, and oh, so hot. You think you're going to pass out, but you know, you just pass out happy. But I didn't pass out. I thought I was, but I was going to go happy. Because inside here, I was joyous. And all along, those that knew Jesus Christ was coming to my VFW room where I was staying, saying, "You're here unofficial. American. Christian, American. You say, now you're gospel. No, I don't want you to do this. Because they love Jesus. And they, many of them have already made it right. It's been a few months ago, you see. And they, many have made it right. But God had to bring them to the point of death. One of them had to be told about 3 days after they had come to my place and called and asked, could they talk to me? And her and another lady, two ladies, and they, Christian, filled with the Holy Ghost, and they came in and said, "You're unofficial here." I didn't even know them in a personal way. I just met them a few times. Said, "Where do you get your money? You're going to cause your husband to go commit you know what." Well, my goodness, how'd they know? Because our minds sometimes are thinking on things that ought not to be, and we try to transfer it to somebody else. Recognize that. Let the Lord show you. Recognize that and look at it as it is. And I just kept on praying. The Lord told me the night before, just say nothing except just hold your Bible, and if you have anything to say, just be sweet and say sweet, kind, loving things, and one time or another you'll win them. But see, there I was trying and doing what Jesus wanted me to do at that refugee prison there, and other places I was ministering, but I was doing that particular place with, this is the one I'm telling you about this morning. And or this afternoon, oh my, oh goodness, come back again if I come back here sometime. And you got to invite me back, or I'll think you're mad at me. I'm just teasing you. Now shut up so I'll finish. Oh goodness. But the Lord will be with you. The Lord will be with you when those things come. See, I tell you that a lot of people said, don't tell that. Well, you know why I put that part with the glories? I put that bad part with the glories. It wasn't a bad part for me, because it just helped me to keep on doing it for Jesus. They said, "Where do you get your money?" I said, "Well, it's the same way you do. I just trust the Lord." And all the questions they would ask me for about 2 hours, that's the kind of answer I gave, because that's the only answer I had. I was there all out for Jesus. I was thinking about nothing else. And the glories of the Lord, when I didn't have a way, except, and the money was, you know, not there, and I needed to go to the refugee prison, and it was too far to walk it. It was a very, very long way. I could have walked it had I started that morning, maybe about 4, and then maybe I would get there by noon or something, if I had walked. But sometimes you didn't have the money for the taxi, and or the bus. I didn't know how to ride a bus. I didn't even speak Thai and all that stuff. And I loved the Thai language, but I just didn't speak it. And so there, here comes a person to my door. Knock on my door. A Thailand person. And this was a man, and he was a chauffeur. And he said, well, I had already been told, because there's 10 men that own Thailand, that own it, besides the king. They are the wealth. They're the most. And one of them, Pentecost. And he was sitting in one of the services in a great big church that had invited me to minister. I didn't know it. I just ministered for Jesus and told him, I was just there to work for Jesus, and told him about the riches, that I was trying my best to help those with the government, with the refugees, and help them get them out. And of course, I'm witnessing all the way, you know. And he had asked me then later, how do you go back and forth? I said, well, as much as possible, I try to ride the taxi, or if someone comes and takes me, but that wasn't happening very much, because they told me I was unofficial and not call them to take me anywhere. So I said, well, don't worry, I won't. This is the ones that come to see me. Guess what was sitting out there for me to use with a chauffeur? Not all the time, but a lot of the time. A Mercedes-Benz. I didn't know how to ride in it. I didn't know how to ride in it. Oh my goodness. But I got to thinking, I am a child of a king. Hallelujah. I'm a child of a king. And he owns Mercedes-Benz, and even the cars more expensive. And he had that chauffeur could hardly speak just a little word or two of English. But I'm going to tell you, you can give enough motion, you know what's going on. God can tell you. And all I tell you, when he said, now, the man that owned it, he spoke English very well. He had to be as wealthy as he did. He is. And then he said, and I already knew the customs, most of the customs. And so the chauffeur comes out. He opens the back door and he finds that attention. Wow. The queen. They could not hardly keep from crying her heart out, which I did later. Got in the car, and then he closes the door. I had to remember how we ladies sit in the car, you know. We sit in, and then we put our feet in. I didn't know if that man knew that, but I just said, oh my, this is so nice, I just have to be the top and do everything that I had learned in some books and things. But oh, Jesus is there with you. Take the children. And then the day I went into a whole nother story that I won't go through, but God had to give me favor with the top brass. He had to give me favor. I could never have gone in there. So you know what I did? I put on my little black
suit, and I put my four-star generals on that was given to me in Germany from the United States military and also from German military, but I put the U.S. ones on for outstanding Christian service. I didn't deserve them, but I praise the Lord because they come in handy a lot of times. And I put them on, and I went in there because I was the daughter of a king. And I said, I would like to see the very top man of all this. Jesus had to give me the strength and the boldness. It comes through the Holy Ghost. And they showed me where he was at. And I said, would you please make an appointment for me? You don't need an appointment. He said, this person said. And I said, well, could you please announce that he has someone here to see me? And he said, just go on. They're in his office. You don't even have to do that. Well, I was a little concerned because we in the United States military don't do that. So in the name of Jesus, I stepped around and into his office, which he could look out over many, many of his workers and secretaries and things. And I stepped, and I just stepped real easy around there, and I just stood there, very dignified. And I never did notice that he saw me. But you know, you will know if somebody kind of steps around and he says, have a seat. Not mean, not real nice. Just have a seat. Yes, what do you want? He wouldn't look at me. Well, that's no big deal, but you know, a lot of times we ladies talk with our eyes. You know, I don't mean to flirt and stuff, but you know, we make expressions, and I had some expressions to make. But he'd evidently glanced up when I didn't notice, because he saw the fourth time. But you know what he saw? He felt before he saw. Spirit. He didn't know it at that time, but he learned later. And his heart was so tender. But you see, at first, he was a great big old guy for a Thailand person. And puffy looking, you know. He had to be in that position. And he was the top rank of that type of the officers. And I said to him, I was an American lady, and I come, and I just wanted to meet you, sir. I used all of my American, sir. I just wanted to meet you, sir, and to tell you that I realize what a tough job that you have, because he's over all of that terrible situation of refugees coming in. And knowing what to do. And many are in the prisons and the refugee camps that don't even have to, not even supposed to be, that do have places to go. But so much for him to do. And I said, Lord, I prayed to you. I said, Lord, tell me what to say. And that's what the Lord had me to say. The Lord had me to say, be compassionate for what he is doing and what he is suffering and what he has to go through. And I said, I just want to tell you, inside me and my heart, I feel for you. And I say, and Jesus told me something else special. Oh, I love this, because I got to use it the whole time. The big God that made the whole wide world and made everybody in the world and the beautiful sceneries and the flowers and the trees and you and me, the big God. Well, when I leave, I'm going to pray to that big God.
to give you strength and wisdom in your very horrible job you have to do. And you know what happened? He couldn't say a word. I left my picture in some, you know, the biographical daddy that you do on a person there with him. And I just excused myself. I said, well, I will leave now, sir. See, he already had known from all the others that I had been coming in there. I'd only been coming in there, though, about 2 weeks at that time, because I was waiting to find him in his office to meet him. That was most important. God will give you favor in the eyes of the one that can open the door for you. You just ask him, and if you do it in faith believing, he'll do it. And that's what happened. And then, as I was about on my second visa, 2 month visa, and then the next time a 3 month visa, I went in to tell him my visa was about to be, it was over, and I was going to have to get another. But before I could even tell him, I was going to go into Malaysia and renew my visa. Before I could even say that, he had a great huge book on his desk with the names of refugees in it. And he was fixing to go to a big convention, which I didn't know till afterwards. And he was just kept on looking. He said, yes, go ahead, yes, just go ahead and talk, you know. And while he's still, he acted like he's looking at it, but he wasn't, he was listening. And I said, oh, sir, my visa's going to be up. Before I could say anything else, he took that book, he slammed it closed, and I thought, oh goodness, I did something wrong. I said something wrong. You know, the devil, oh, I hate him. I already said it, that I hate him, because he makes us fear. And I said, oh.